The Lord is good, and He loves us, and He cares for us, and He gives us all good things. And I was touched to pray for the Gideons and Jimmy, and because the Word of God is being given out by the Gideons and being transported and handed to people who have an interest, and we desire that the Lord's word would go forth as it goes forth in us, and it comes to us, and it fills us and helps us, guides us in all our ways. And I've been studying over a number of places in the scripture, but particularly got started, several months ago, speaking about abiding. And it started with John chapter 14. And I want to remind you of the circumstances that preceded John 14. And that is the disciples being gathered for the Last Supper, and so much was going on here that was happening, a lot of spiritual activity. Satan was nearby. He was breathing into Judas's heart, and the Lord was showing His love for His disciples, and yet it was impossible for them to understand and to do and to know. And so we have this circumstance right at the end of chapter 13 where Simon Peter says, Jesus is telling them that they can't go where He is going now because He's going to the cross, He's going to heaven and to be with the Father, and He will be dead for 3 days and will be raised up again. And Simon Peter, of course, as you're familiar, says, "Lord, where are You going?" Verse 36 of 13, and He says, "Where I go, You cannot follow Me now, but You shall follow later." And Peter said to Him, "Lord, why can I not follow You right now? I will lay down my life for You." And Jesus answered, "Will you lay down your life for Me? Truly, truly, I say to you, a cock shall not crow until you deny Me 3 times. I wanted to put that background before I go into chapter 14, because we are like Simon Peter. We are unable to do what we think we can do. And in our own minds, we get carried away distracted, or think we have something, and it's really of the mind, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Simon Peter did think that he could lay down his life for the Lord, but the Lord knew that he would not be able to, and that the Lord would not allow him to give up his life. So Simon Peter has just been told that he will deny the Lord 3 times. We struggle. We have difficulty with the circumstances of our life. We have difficulty with what the Lord has provided to us. There are cups that we have to drink, and places we have to go, and tears we have to shed, and rejoicing that we have in Him and with each other as we celebrate, like when we are together, as we gather on Sundays. But the Lord goes on in chapter 14. He says, "Let not your..." So He's just told Peter, "You're not going to be able to give your life for me. You are not able to do what you think you can do. And Jesus is not upset with Peter. He knows Peter. He has, just as he knows us. He knows us inside and out. And he is prepared to give himself for us. He is prepared to give himself for Peter and all of the disciples. And so they've gathered there having this meal together. And he says in chapter 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going." I'm going to pause there. The Lord has spoken absolute truth here. This is not just fluff. This is not something that the disciples perhaps had heard him say similar words at other times and didn't understand. They simply didn't understand what was going to happen. Why would the Lord do this? How is he going to take care of us? And I spoke on the Father's dwelling places. The dwelling places are for us. We dwell when we gather together. I said this before. When we gather together, we are dwelling with him, because he is in us, each other. We are being touched. We are being encouraged. We are able to rejoice in him. We are being relieved of the burden of our sin. We are trusting in him, and he wants us to trust in him. That's why he wants to be with us. And he's going to say more about that, his relationship with the Father. So he said to them, "And you know the way where I'm going." And again, the disciples, we don't know. The Lord is quoted here. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." That has to be revealed to us. And it is revealed to us in the Lord Jesus. He is the way. He protects the way. He keeps it. He keeps us in the way. He gives us the truth. He gives us his life. His blood was shed for us that we might have life and have it abundantly. No one comes to the Father but through me. There is no other way but by Jesus' blood and his love for us and his call to us. We are called and we are chosen, and he has brought us to himself. Jesus says to Thomas, "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him." Now, I have struggled with that, this language in here, that is the Lord giving us a commandment that we can't, that I know I can't fulfill, I can't walk in. Well, if you look at it as that kind of commandment, that you've got to make yourself acceptable, you can't. And that's, I want to say, okay. It's not okay. It is covered. It is taken by the Lord. It is his love that flows out of him to us, that we may know him and see him. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. He is telling them, you are seeing me, you are seeing what God is doing in me and through me and what he sent me to do and how he will take me from here to the heavenly places, and we will be united forever and ever. But the Lord is going to reveal that to them, and he's saying to them, you can't do this. From now on, you know me and have seen him. You've seen him because we've seen Jesus, and Jesus is the Son, the only begotten of God. The conversation continues with Philip in verse 8. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. We are creatures of sight in this world. We want to see miracles. We want to see special things. We want to see the unusual. We want to see magic. And it's not. The Lord is not doing magic. He is showing us life. He is giving us life. He is showing the Father. And Philip is asking, show us the Father. I have. Verse 9, have I been so long with you, yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How do you say, show us the Father? Again, how did the tone in which this was spoken, I don't believe, was one of chastisement. He was saying, you've seen it. Believe it. Trust in me. I am the way. I am your way. I will lead you to know him, that you can trust me and trust him, and he will fill your life, and he will lead you every step of the way. And take, like, prayed for Yvonne, that she would know, because the Lord wants her to know, how she is to go about this conference. Is it with Sandy? Is it with Dora? Is it, what will the Lord have? But she wants to glorify the Lord. And the Lord will reveal himself to her in that, in these ways. Just as he does for us. Just as he's done, as Jimmy talked about, leading him into the Gideons. He has shown him what he wants him to do, and all of these events that he goes to, the Lord leads them there, and the Lord gives them a path outward. It's not like it's breadcrumbs. There's no birds going to come along and eat this. The Lord shows the way, and he is able to fulfill his purpose in them, through them. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. The Lord is being about, he's doing his, fulfilling the purpose that has been intended from the beginning, since before the foundations of the world. He has known what would happen and how it will happen and how it will all be drawn together. And all things, as Paul tells us in Romans, all things work together for good, and he will cause that to be. That all things will work together for good, and all things will be according to his purpose. And the things that the Lord is doing for us and in us is beyond our understanding in many ways, but he is continually faithful and wanting us to walk in him, to trust in him, to embrace him, to be sons, to be children, to be the church, to be the bride of Christ. In verse 12, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he shall do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. We are not having to conjure up these works. We do what the Lord would have us do, and these are miraculous things. In Ephesians and in the sit, walk, stand, one of the things that the Lord has dawned on my heart, even before we started that book, is that we stand believing in Christ, and the enemy is he is defeated. He is unable to turn and do anything when we are trusting in Christ. And we do trust in Christ. We believe in him. And if we are struggling, we will struggle, but he will bring us back. He is faithful. He is able. And he does this. This is a spiritual work that he is doing. It is not by our effort. It is not by our giving. It is not by our shouting or singing or any human thing. It is a spiritual work that the Lord is doing among us. And the Lord, this chapter and this from I don't want to say historical, but I guess, this happened. This is not just something that, this is not a parable. This is true. These things actually happened. This sequence of communication and what the Lord was telling them, and he was telling them for a reason. He wanted them to know how things would transpire. He wanted them to know what he was going to do and what they were going to do, what will happen, and how the Lord, the Father, will accomplish his purpose. And so, in verse 12, he says, because I go to the Father, and whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. This is his purpose. He wants us to glorify the Father and that the Son would be glorified. And he will be glorified in our believing and trusting in him. Because we trust in him, he will accomplish his purpose. This is what he wants. That's what he wanted in the garden. He wanted them to believe him. He wanted them to trust him. He didn't want them to go on their own. He didn't want them to take that which was lovely and tasty and all that in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He wanted them to put it aside and to trust in him and to get life from the tree of life. And verse 16, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, the Holy Spirit, that he may be with you forever. Now, the Lord just doesn't throw around forever like we do. Forever is forever, eternal. We have eternal life, and we have the helper, the Holy Spirit will be with us forever. I will not leave you. That is the spirit, verse 17, that is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not behold him or know him, but you know him, because he abides in you. The Holy Spirit is living in us. The Spirit of Christ is living in us and will be in us. I will not leave you as orphans. Verse 18. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will behold me no more, but you will behold me because I live. We can trust that he is alive, and he is alive right now. He is seated in the heavenly places next to God the Father, and we are seated with him by the power of the Spirit and by the cleansing of his blood and by the life that he gives us. Because I live, you shall live also. And in that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. How is it that the Lord will convey this to us? How is it that he will provide? He is able to provide all things. I am in the Father. I am in my Father, and you in me. That's Jesus speaking. You in me, and I in you. The Lord is moving, and he is moving and filling our hearts and our minds with the love of Christ and the water of life and the bread of life. We are cleansed by his blood. He tells us all this, and we want to believe it, and we can believe it. He stirs up faith within us that we can believe that which is impossible of men. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. He is promising here to be with us, to love us, and to fill us, and to answer all of our questions, fill all of our needs, and to help us not to judge whether things are good or bad by our way of thinking, but he will be with us. He will show us. He will lead us in the way. And he will disclose himself to us. Verse 25. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. We can rely upon that and trust in him to fulfill that. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. How many times have we heard the word of the Lord spoken, and we hear it and we are moved by it, and the Lord gives us insight and helps us to know and to believe, and we need more and more. We need it again and again and again, and he is faithful to give it again and again and again. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. He is speaking. The Holy Spirit is speaking to us when we gather together as believers, when we gather together in his name, when we sing and lift up his name before the world and before each other. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. We are in a dangerous time, and the enemy would have us be afraid. be anxious, to be concerned, to worry about how are we going to get enough Bibles. You know, the Lord is going to provide. And you know it. You know it because he's proved himself over and over again. And it's true with everything. He provides for us. He gives us all that we need. We are not to be afraid. And we can't not be afraid by our own power. We are not afraid because the Holy Spirit is dwelling in us and is breathing life into us and speaking words of peace. There is no peace in the ways of the world. The world thinks that if you get enough money, if you get enough friends, you got enough of this, you got enough of that, well, you have peace. Well, no, you won't. There is no peace. The only peace is in him. Therefore, do not be afraid. Trust in him. He will help you not to be afraid. You've heard it said, verse 28, you've heard that I said to you, I go away, and I will come to you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. That's very straightforward. We should not be afraid of him going. They should not have been afraid of him going. We can look at this from 2,000 years later. He is providing. He was going to go to the Father who would provide all of the power and the vision and the strength that was necessary for them to believe and to fulfill his purpose. And when we believe, we give him glory. And when we believe, the enemy is defeated. The enemy wants to whisper and cause us to fear, but we have the Lord Jesus seated at the right hand of the Most High, the place of power. And we are seated with him. Now I have told you this before it comes to pass, that when it comes to pass, you may believe. And they did. When it came to pass, they saw it transpiring. There's not a lot that, I haven't really tried to dig it out. There's not a lot that they saw. They seemed to still be very confused, and they were very confused until Pentecost. The Lord came upon them, the Holy Spirit fell on them, and they were not afraid. They were filled with the Word of God. They knew what they had heard. They remembered the things that they had been taught, that they had seen in the Scripture, that the rabbis had spoken that was truth. The Word is truth. And the Lord Jesus had provided education and leadership for them. Verse 30, I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of the world is coming, and he has nothing in me. Jesus is not making bold claims. He is speaking truth. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go from here. So he has spoken to them. He has told them what's going to happen. He has promised them. He has given them the word. He has shown them the Father. He has assured them that the Father loves them, that they do not and cannot earn his love. He loves them because they believe and are trusting, and he will help them to believe. I've told you this before it comes to pass, that when it comes to pass, you may believe. This is what the Lord wants. He wants his people to believe him. He is the one, read this verse before, John 6. Jesus answered and said to them, he's speaking to the Pharisees here, this is the work of God. Jesus is speaking, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. That is our work. We are to believe. We need his help. We need to abide with him and to trust him and to see him and to abide with one another and to hear the things that he is doing. And to, you know, he says, I don't think it's here, but he speaks, if you don't believe me, believe in the works that you see me doing, because they are coming from the Father. They are coming, they are spiritual actions that God has called into being. He wants us to trust him. He wants us to believe. Just as John declared in Revelation, he was on the Isle of Patmos because of the testimony of Jesus. We have seen the testimony of Jesus. We are the testimony of Jesus. He does what he does so that we may be seen by men who need to know, who need to trust him and need to be touched by him. And if they will not, he is still faithful to let them, to have them see. He wants them to see. He's not trying to keep anything from us. He wants us to know. He wants us to walk as he would have us walk. And he will accomplish his purpose. Lord, we do thank you and praise you that you have given us your word, and that your word is so full of assurance and of power and of truth and of life, that we may walk in your way and not even be touched by the things of the world, because you have overcome the world. We do thank you and praise you and ask you, Lord, to help us to see you and to trust in you, to reach out our arms to you and to each other and hold on to you as you hold on to us. We thank you and praise you, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen.